We call upon you, Father. You are our help. You are our peace. In you, Father, we have the fullness of life. Without you, Father, we are nothing. But in you, we have all of the Godhead living in us. Therefore, we are empowered. Therefore, we are strong. Therefore, we are mighty. Therefore, we are wise, knowledgeable, and graced with understanding, increased in wisdom, increased in stature, increased in favor with you, O God, and also with man. You are the difference maker. Thank you, Lord, that you took a bunch of nobodies, instilled in them your life. And now, Lord, we shine brightly as light. Not only were we taken out of darkness, brought into light, you have made us light. Influences. Lord, may your name forever be exalted. May you truly be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the boldness to continue, the boldness and the courage to be steadfast in faith, unwavering in purpose. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This morning, I started the segment of the preaching of the word by doing an interview with one of my spiritual sons all the way in India. What a powerful time that was. Somebody had sent me the clip of the message from some country. I don't remember which country it was. Somebody that was watching. And they sent me the clip of it. And I thought it was just a short clip, but it was a whole service. And so I was listening to the testimony again and to the message and how blessed we were this morning. This evening, I want to continue the message from this morning where we talked about partnering with God, addressing the issue of the weak link, addressing the issue of being steadfast, unwavering in purpose. And to get us to that message this evening, I'd like to have a video of this son that I interviewed this morning, the video of what he was talking about played out, so you can see one of those incidents that he was talking about. So let's watch this video and I'll be right back.
thank you, Lord Jesus, for enabling me and giving me the wisdom to command the storm to calm down. And Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for giving me the wisdom to deal with the situation effectively and bring the ship back under control and under par with proper steerage. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God. Guru Vashandra, Vashandra, Braga, Braga. Chandra, Braga, Papa, Paka, Papa, Paka. Jesus, thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord God Almighty.
Powerful, powerful. Taking one stand. No one knows what would have been the end of that story, because we did not have the opportunity to know the end of that story in terms of the negative things that could have happened. But what we do know was that a young man took his place and did what seemed to be contrary. As he shared with us this morning, the natural wisdom, the natural knowledge taught was that when that storm was taking place, he should slow down the knots, the speed of that ship. But God spoke deep within his spirit, pick up speed. Do differently. And a young man believed God, commanded as a captain for that ship to pick up speed. While he was speaking to the storm. And the net result is that they lost no lives, they lost no cargo, nothing of great importance was destroyed. But it was a bad storm, so bad that Reader's Digest wrote up on that story. I've not elected to show you that video just to show you a video. Because we're talking about partnership. When he shared about what transpired, he had to have people that partnered with him. And he has lots of stories like this of what happened at sea, how precarious it is. You see, when you're at sea, you really don't have any footing. You are at the mercy, so to speak, of the elements, the vastness of the sea. No matter how big your ship is, and I've been in one of those ships, I think it was in the Calabar in Hong Kong. Things are huge. And to see all the cargo piled, container after container after container, I don't know how high those things go. And to be traveling on a voyage, and then the storm comes, and not to lose any of that. because the young man believed God. It is the story of being steadfast. And the question I want to ask myself today, and I want you to ask yourself, is this: how steadfast are you? How reliable are you? Do you fall apart when a storm comes your way? The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you faint, if you fall apart in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And as I look at the church, far and near, in the midst of the revivals that is taking place, there is a whole host of people that have not been steadfast. COVID attacked, and mandates were put in place. And there are churches, as I speak to you right now, 2+ years later, they have not opened their doors because the members of the church don't think it is safe enough. They are not in church. Lots of churches are empty. Lots of churches, their doors are shut. And even those that are open, people sparsely attend because of the legislations, the mandates, and the fear of man. Thank God we didn't shut down here, not for one day. In fact, we had more services during the COVID attack. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. This is God speaking. In other words, he's saying, there's no place for you to faint. There's no reason for you to faint. What you need to live life to the full has been granted to you. But too many of us do not buy into the truth of God. We don't embrace the Word of God. We don't believe the Word of God. A God who says, if only you believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. We believe more in impossibilities than possibilities. Every little quake gets us running helter-skelter. But God says something totally different about us, what he's invested in us. The Lord says to Peter, he says, man, you're going to fall apart. In fact, you're going to deny me. He says, but I've already prayed for you. And when you're strong, strengthen your brothers. It is God's mandate to every one of us to strengthen others that may be weak, those that are weary, those that have been knocked down, to speak into their lives. Our phones are not for gossip. Our phones are for gospeling, speaking truth to each other, encouraging each other, standing with each other and say, I know you're afraid, but God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has given us the spirit of his love, of his power. He's given us a mind that is fortified with the goodness of God. You can do it, brother. You can do it, sister. You can stand strong. You can walk, because God's grace is sufficient. There's no reason why any son or daughter of the living God should be sitting at home sucking their fingers like babies, finding excuses. The word of God says, especially now, in this last of the last days, he says, do not neglect the assembling, the gathering of the saints. In Psalm 134 and verse 1, it says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. By night stand. Other translations may use the word serve in the house of the Lord. Are you serving? And are you at your post? Doing what you're called to do? Making certain that others are established in the goodness of God. Notice the word, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand. Now, when it talks about which by night, it's not just talking about nighttime in terms of the time of the day. It's talking about that time in your life when it seems like the light is gone. It's dark. A time of turbulence. He says, there's a key. Bless ye the Lord. All ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Let's look at the next verse. Lift up your hands. Where? In your home? No, he says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. In the house of God. The time of coming to the house of God to worship God in spirit and in truth is not something that we do once in a while, whenever we feel like it. It is something that burns deep within our spirit, something that we are driven deeply to do. The Bible says that it was the habit of the Lord to be in the sanctuary, to be in the synagogue. I believe it's in Luke chapter 4, maybe somewhere around verse 16. It was his habit to be in the house. He says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. The place where he was brought up. And as his custom was, as his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He stood up. It was his custom. It was his habit. This is what he did. If Jesus had to go, and he is God in the flesh,
If we have to go to the synagogue, what do you think? How important is it for you? Do you stand? He says, I'm stood up. And because he was one who was standing, verse 17 says, and there was delivered unto him. There was delivered unto him. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. It is the people that stand that get to read the revelation. If you are playing footsie-wootsie with God, don't expect God to hand to you anything that's of any importance, anything that has meaning. He stood up. Purpose to read. And it was delivered unto him, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. 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 He found it. That means he looked for it. He knew where it was. And he looked for it. It was not as simple as you and I, you know, going to our iPad and punching some numbers or opening our Bibles and we can find it so easily. This is a scroll. He had to be opening the scroll, and you open the scroll very carefully because the material was very flimsy. He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He looked at it. He began to read it. And he spoke and said something that was so remarkable. He said, this day is this word, this scripture fulfilled in your midst. The Lord Jesus Christ, who knew opposition, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew what people were thinking and told them what they were thinking, also knew that when he said, after reading those words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Bible says he closed the book. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. Notice, he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. We're going to see, what is he going to say now? And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Oh, he opened a can of worms. Now they want to kill him. Now they're going to take him to the cliff. Remember, this is the town where he was raised. They knew him. This guy, we know your father, we know your mother. Is not this Joseph's son? How dare you say this day this scripture is fulfilled? But you know what? We are going to have to be a people that will be able to stand because we know God and say this day this scripture is fulfilled in your midst. knowing that everybody knows you. They know where you shop. They know what school you went to. They know how smart or not smart you were. They know everything about you. You're just like one of the boys, and now you come in and you're going to say something different? He knew he was going to be opposed. And sure enough, they led him out of the city and were about to push him off the cliff. But Jesus, knowing who he was, knew it's not my time to die. He just turned around and walked out. He just, he passing through the midst of them, went his way. Do you have a way? Is there something, an assignment that you know God has called you to? Then you must not keep your mouth shut because you have a fear of man. We must stand in our post and do what we must and not quiver because of the actions and the activities of men and what they have to say or not say. In Psalm 92, beginning to read from verse 12, Psalm 92, verse 12, the Word of God says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." It's remarkable that the Word of God uses the palm tree. You see, because the palm tree is very resilient when it comes to storms. You can see the storm blowing and the hurricane or whatever, and you see the palm tree bending, almost hitting the ground, and bouncing back up straight. I once saw a palm tree. I showed you a clip of this sometime back. I don't know if I can find it again. But this palm tree had fallen down. It was down. But part of its roots were still anchored. And would you know it? While other trees in this shoreline were dead and done with, here comes another palm tree from the roots of the palm tree that had fallen down. The palm tree did not give up. It says, "I'm here to stand." The question is, child of God, how well are you standing? How well am I standing? And why are you standing? And how is it that you are standing? Standing in the house of God is not by accident, child of God. It's not by accident. It is founded in the consistency of your faith because you believe God, because you embrace the integrity of the Word of God, because you know that the God that you serve is not some wood, not some metal, that the God you serve is living, He's alive, He is the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who reigns supreme, the God who cannot be stopped, the God who reigns in every realm. Jesus, our Lord, took His stand. And He showed by that stand that all the hordes of hell could not stop Him from fulfilling His purpose. And it is that same Jesus that lives in you and I. We don't have weakness inside of us, child of God. We don't have failure in here. We don't have defeat in here. We have the conquering God living inside of us. For the Word of God says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world." How dare we manifest weakness when we serve an awesome God? The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. See, the cedar was the tree that was used for wood in the building of the temple. It says, the righteous shall flourish. Even though they may not be flourishing right now because of challenges, they are going to outlast their problem. Hallelujah. You're going to flourish. You're going to grow like a cedar in Lebanon. With all the harshness of the weather, no, you're going to grow. You're going to be so solid. I can use you in my temple. Which people are these? Oh, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Those that be planted. So many people that are like fake flowers that can be moved right and left. No roots. Vagabonds. Roaming. But God talks about those that be planted. Those that be planted. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. They are the ones that shall flourish in the courts of our God. Question I must ask myself is this. How planted am I? How planted are you? What are you doing in the kingdom of God? How involved are you in the things of God? Are you in a ship and the storm is raging? You are, 4,000, 5,000 miles from land? You're going to jump out of the ship and swim? So what are you going to do? Are you going to stand in that ship and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, wind, seas, waves, calm down? So many times we're ready to jump ship because there's a problem. And do not recognize that God has called me here to be a problem solver. God has called me here to be an answer, not a problem. God has called me here to serve. God has raised me up to be a person of great honor and great dignity. Too many people are mentioning the name of the Lord. Jesus, our Lord, said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall inherit. I wonder why. Because his lordship has to be a relevant truth, practicalized by my daily actions and my response to him, recognizing that my reward comes from him, the creator of the heavens and the earth. See, God calls us to partner with him. And we cannot be the weak link. We cannot. We cannot afford to be the weak link because God doesn't have reign in our lives. The weak link breaks. It breaks. And as I said to us this morning, as long as you think and still think that you are just human, you're going to be the weak link. There's got to be a sense of godness. Not that we are God over anybody, but we have the grace and the capacity to be ones that are carrying God inside of us. The God of the universe. Jesus said, my Father and I and the Spirit of God, of course, we are going to come and make our abode in you. We're going to reveal ourselves to you. We're going to show you something. And when God begins to reveal himself to us, the purpose is to reveal who we really are, so that the courage and the confidence of God begins to bubble inside of us. So we know beyond a doubt, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Whatever the challenge is, God has given me grace to overcome it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, even when you're weak, he says, my grace is sufficient. When you recognize that you need me in your life, my grace, my ability will energize you, and it is sufficient to address whatever it is that is standing in opposition to you. Where do I stand today? Where do you stand? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul makes a remarkable statement. He says, for we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. That statement is remarkable. Because he's saying, we are working together with God. We are in partnership together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. And we are here working together to make certain that you are built upright. That's why God gives the gifts of the Spirit, to edify us, to build us up so that we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Isaiah, we read these words. It says to us that we can mount on the wings of eagles, that we can run and not be weary, and that we can walk and not faint. Praise the Lord. But this is what I want you to see from the passage. Right there in Isaiah 40, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, I'm going to take it up from verse 25. This is God speaking. It says, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Who are you going to liken me to? Or make me equal to? Said the Holy One. 26. Watch this. Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, who had created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one failure. In other words, I keep this universe. I keep the stars, the moon, the sun, the galaxies, everything. I'm the one who keeps everything in its proper place and proper order. Who are you going to compare me with? Who am I likened to? Watch this. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest? Jacob, why are you saying, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Why are you saying that I am blind and I cannot see what's happening? I know what's happening. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Huh? What's that? God does not faint, neither is weary. Oh, there's no searching of his understanding. In other words, that's me. There's no way you can search me out. I don't faint. I am not weary. I'm God. Okay, God, that's great, that's awesome. I believe that. I believe that you don't faint and you're not weary and there's no searching of your understanding. You have supernatural knowledge. That's God. Watch the next verse. He gave it power to the faint. The God who does not faint gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. God increaseth strength. Oh, it's getting hot here. Even the youths, based on their natural ability, will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, that are in the service of the Lord, shall have their strength renewed. They're going to act like God. I'm going to pass my ability into you. I'm going to pass my wisdom into you. I'm going to pass my power into you. I'm going to pass my grace into you. And you're going to start acting like your papa. You're going to start acting like God over your circumstance, because there's no limit to your ability if you will stand. So our problem is not God. Our problem is that we are not connecting. We're not standing. We're not believing what God says about himself. And therefore, we do not believe what God says about us. God does not faint. God is not weary, and those that wait upon the Lord don't get weary, they don't get faint, because their strength is renewed. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What do eagles do? They ride the storm. When every other bird is busy fighting the storm, the eagle shoots up and, instead of being beaten down by the storm, rides the storm. And keeps everybody else in awe. How did you go through that? What happened? That problem that you had, oh, it was an incredible problem. That would kill anybody. How did you come out of that? Thinking like God. Thinking like God. Being steadfast in faith, unwavering in purpose. not allowing the circumstances to determine my status or my posture, but recognizing that there is a God who's bigger than my problems, and he has an answer even when I don't know what the answer is. He's able to download into my spirit great grace to be an overcomer. Watch the statement. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Liken me. Liken me to my sons and my daughters, those who stand by night in the house of the Lord. When you see them, you see me. When you see them not wavering, not collapsing because of circumstances, you see me. What is God saying? Whatever problem you're facing, it faces me too, but I know how to handle every one of them. And I can show you how you can make it. We are co-laborers together. We are in this together. We win together. We accomplish together. You are my son. You are acting like your papa. It's a remarkable word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As I wrap up this evening, I'm not even close to being done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll pick it up from verse 7. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. There's a hidden wisdom. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So there's hidden, there's a mystery here. What is the mystery? If they had known that by me being crucified and me dying on the cross, that the power that I have to overcome death, that I'm going to transfer that same power to you, they wouldn't have messed with me. Oh, glory. But as it's written, I had not seen. Wow. I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. See, you've not seen nothing yet. And we are that generation, saints, they have not seen nothing yet, but God is about to do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing, but he cannot work with people who are not steadfast in faith. People who just think about their pockets, what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be added unto you. I am God. I am able to provide for you. You don't need the economies of the world to be able to know good success. I am your source. What shopping mall did Israel go to when they were in the wilderness? What grocery stores? God is saying, if I did it then, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will do a new thing in your life. I will provide for you. I take care of the birds of the air. He said, well, let me tell you something. Even Solomon in all of his glory, in all the blessings I blessed him with, he doesn't match up. What? What are you talking about, Lord? God saying, listen, you've not seen anything yet. But as long as you are not steadfast in faith, you will keep on not seeing anything. We've got to come to that place, child of God, where we decide, because God reigns and is supreme, I will dare to break all the laws of the natural realm and cleave unto the author and the finish of my faith and know that God wants to do a new thing. I want to be the one that God is going to use to reveal his glory in this last of the last days. Once upon a time, they said man could not run the 4-minute mile. But somebody broke it. Somebody did it. Believe in science. They said, the human body is not built to run a 4-minute mile. It's impossible. Until some young man that was born and was diseased and was told that he could not walk, he will never walk in his life. Who fought against all of the lies, all of the proclamations of doctors and whoever else, grabbed himself to a fence and started moving. And before you knew it, he started running and running and running. The guy they said would never walk started running. And one day he outran everybody and broke the 4-minute mile. A man that was born incapable. What is it that we cannot do when we set our hearts and our minds to believe God? He says, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And those who love him keep his commandments. Listen to the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us. But God hath revealed them unto us. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. For what reason? To reveal it to us. 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Oh, if man doesn't know the things of man, save the spirit that's in a man, then it's the Spirit of God that knows the things that's in God. But where is this God going to go live? In here, in me. Verse 12. Now we have received. Someone say, now we have received. So God has already given it. God has already given it. The problem is we're not applying. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We don't have the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We receive the spirit of God who knows all things, who searches all things, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And when we see it, we say, oh, no, that's too good to be true. That's for the apostles. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, In other words, God is saying, you got to go past natural knowledge. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Are we allowing ourselves to be taught of God? And if you're going to be allowing yourself to be taught of God, you think you're going to be taught of God, sitting down, thinking only about your 9-to-5 job. And thinking that's how all of your provision is going to be. I'm not saying that work is not important. Work is absolutely important. God's word says work. He says he hates lazy people. But your job is not your provision. Your job is the place where you collect seeds to sow. And God increases your seed, multiplies it. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's what we got to do. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It says, but the natural man, the carnal-minded man, the man who's focused on the flesh, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And you're talking spiritual things. Natural-minded people think that's foolish. That's not possible. Foolishness means that they don't believe that there is a God, that that's possible. So when you talk about the healing power of God and the use of the giftings of the Holy Spirit, there are people who go, well, that is not for today. But if the devil is working, actually they say that's of the devil. Oh, so the devil is still working. And the devil is still powerful, but God is no longer powerful. Foolishness. They cannot comprehend. He says, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. Spiritual things. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Let me just go a little bit. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. Guess who that is? That's a description of God right there. And God is calling and says, listen, when you're spiritual, you judge. And nothing can judge you. God says, I've given that to you already. This is part of your package. Wow. Let's go a little bit deeper. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Oh, this is going to get heavy now. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who knows the mind of the Lord to give God an instruction? Yikes. Are we talking something here? Who's got that kind of a mind to instruct God? Says, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, you've got the kind of mind that can talk with God. You can have discussions with God. We have a discussion. We can talk. Give me your ideas. Let's see how good you are doing with this stuff in here. God will let me have a discussion with him. He says, yeah. We're partners. We're partners. We are partners. And we have a goal together. You are not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And if God says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, do you think God is going to get unequally yoked with an unbeliever? God is looking for people that believe. The Word of God says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then it says, nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Nothing's impossible to God. Nothing is impossible to me. Do I receive this word? Do I believe it? Or do I keep on going? But what? I've given you the package. Open the package and see what I have put in there just for you. But we have the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? You know, you mean I can know the mind of the Lord? What does that mean? That means you know the will of God. And God wants to take me to that place where I know what His will is. And I follow through. I was talking with some people recently, and this person said to me, your church is very interesting. I said, what about that? He said, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. You're talking about the scripture, and the scripture is right there. He said, I was looking at your wife, whether she was pushing some buttons in there. How did they know what you're going to say and pump it out? No, I didn't give them notes to the scriptures. Even this evening, while I'm busy speaking, there are scriptures that are popping up. Why? They know. They've been here long enough and connected with the Spirit of God that's within and said, this is where He's going. This is where He's going. God is saying, listen, I want to bring you to the place where you know this is what the will of God is. I know what He's going to say. He's going to say this, 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 this. That's riding together. You've heard me say it many times before. There's one thing. There's only one thing I can imagine that can get me upset. Really, I can handle most things, but one thing. So what is that? Don't misrepresent me. Don't paint another picture that's different from what I stand for. Don't misrepresent me. One time I asked the Lord, I said, God, I have a problem with this thing. When people misrepresent me, I lose it. Now, I'm not going to shoot somebody or do anything crazy, but the temperature rises. Something starts, my eyes start twitching or something, I don't know. I said, Lord, why is it that this is one thing that I don't like. He said, that's one thing that I don't like too. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't like anybody misrepresenting me. Oh. I said, Lord, you mean I got this from you? He said, yes, you got it from me. God doesn't want to be misrepresented. And guess what we've been doing? We keep on misrepresenting Him. We're not showing forth His power. God help us that we change and begin to think as people that are heavenly minded, not earthly foolish, no, but heavenly minded, and therefore taking the mind of God concerning the issues and enforcing it in the earth realm. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because I'm not running after the things of this world. I'm running after him who apprehended me, Paul says. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. But we have the mind of Christ. See this next statement. I know I've been sharing for a little while now, and I'll wrap it up here. But let's look at the next verse. Move it. There it is. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. In Romans 8, he says, a carnal-minded person is an enemy of God. Am I an enemy of God? Or am I fully connected to him? Even as unto babes in Christ. That tells me something. That to be called a babe in Christ is an insult. Goes on. It says in verse 2. It says right there, I have fed you with milk and not with meat because you're not grown. God expects me to be a meat chewer. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Why? Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You walk as men. Ordinary people. You walk as men. In other words, God says, I don't want you walking as men. I want you to have God's nature operating in you. And today, may that grace rest upon every one of us. I could speak for hours yet and still be scratching the surface. But the issue is this. God is saying to us, to you and I, I've invested so much in you. Take a stand. Stop being wishy-washy. Be a person that I can count on to be responsible. Too many of us have allowed this natural world to control and influence the way we live our lives. We've become wishy-washy, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, every nonsense that's going on. We're more familiar with the world than the word. Believers that know more about young and the restless than they know about the word of God. They know more about what CNN said and what Fox said and what MSNBC said and what CBC said and CTV said than they know about the word of God. We know what natural world is talking about. We believe Fauci, or is it Falsy? Then we believe the word of God. We get our information from the natural world rather than keeping our ears peeled to hear what Father is saying. We make our decisions based on this natural world. They don't know nothing. Believers going to palm readers and people that read tarot cards and all the craziness of witchcraft and occultism. And so buy into that foolishness that is of the devil rather than pursuing after God. Saying, God, here I am. Open my eyes. Let me understand. Let me see. Let me, O God, be one that you can use in this last of the last days. I count not on my own ability. I count on your ability working in me and through me. God, have mercy and touch my life. Use my life. Father, if you're going to use anyone, use me. God wants to raise up a host of groundbreaking people who are open to hear his heart and receive the revelations from above, because that revelation is higher. It says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I think I'd rather have that one. I think I'd rather have his ways. I think I'd rather have his thoughts, think like he thinks. Have the operation of God in my life rather than the operation of a dog. Maybe you didn't get that. You go God or you go dog. Dogs return to their vomit. God keeps on moving ahead. His word that he spoke at the very beginning that God this world created, that word is still traveling and walls are being created. Things are happening. The word of God has not stopped. It will never stop, because if anything that God does stops, peaks, we are all done. Yes, everything collapse. It will all collapse. Rise with me. I have so much inside of me that I can keep on talking, so I better stop. Heavenly Father, our prayer is simple. Help us. Help us. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. Lord, our cry is the same, like Paul's, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Tell you, perfect your will and your word in us. We cannot, in our own strength and our own ability,
do the things that you say. For we can do all things through you who strengthens us. Enlarge our capacity, Father, that we may be true partners with you. We can't even run as fast as a horse. And you say, Lord, that we can run with you. We believe not what our natural mind says. We believe what you say by your Spirit unto us. Have your way, Father. Have your way. Be magnified, O God, in us, your people. Let there be a demonstration of the integrity of your grace. And let lives forever be changed, because we have been changed by you for your glory and honor, and for the benefit of all mankind. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. May God bless you richly. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let's be steadfast. Let God count on us when it comes to our giving. Count on us when it comes to our time of praying and the study of God, the Word of God. When it comes to being in the house of God, lifting up holy hands unto Him. May God count on us, and may His grace abound towards us. Let all limitations be broken, and let grace sufficient empower us to live life to the full. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. I love you. I celebrate the goodness of God in your life. And I look forward to being with you on Wednesday, and then on Friday for the prayer service, and of course, next Sunday morning and evening. Be reminded that our Sunday morning services come on after the praise and worship and prayer time, which means if you want to participate in the praise and worship time and receive the ministry of Mama during the prayer time, that you need to go on to Zoom. Go on to Zoom, and also or to the website, which is gloryandpeace.com, and have the live streaming. Those are the two platforms where the live stream is going to be, and the full live stream, that is. And if you want to just participate in the message time, then we'll encourage you to subscribe to our Glory and Peace channel on YouTube, or subscribe on Facebook, so that when we come on Facebook or YouTube or Reddit or any of the other platforms, because we broadcast on multi-platforms, multi-streams, then you can be notified and you can participate as you choose. God bless you, love you, and thank God for you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Meditate on this word, share it with others, that others also may be encouraged to take their rightful place in God. Good night. I love you. Blessings.